Hello, hello, hello. I'd like to welcome all our listeners in the U.S. and around the world. I'm Jackie Laura Jones here for you for True Forgiveness Teachings. And I want to thank everyone first and foremost about being patient with the audio. Mark and I have, it's just so funny. It's been a forgiveness lesson for me, not in a harsh way, but just I'm so excited all the time to bring these broadcasts to you folks that when something goes wrong, Bruce will tell you, he's on the line right now and he's our awesome guest and who we all know and love. And I've just had the giggles for the last 10 minutes because if any of you had tuned in at 3:30, there's an new interfacing Block Talk Radio has. And for some reason, my microphone, I couldn't get the audio on. So anyway, I am going to look at just other platforms or maybe another way I'm going to do this show. So for those of you who enjoy this podcast, and if you're not on my email list, consider joining because I'll make announcements there about possibly changing platforms or what I'm going to be doing in the future. I may just combine things and put them on one platform, but we'll just see what the inspiration is. And I also was going to point out that I do counseling sessions and I have online classes. If anyone's interested in any of that, you can go to www.jackie.news. Oh my gosh. So I want to welcome Bruce Rawls again to the podcast. Welcome, Bruce. So good to have you back.
Thanks, Jackie. I always enjoy our conversations, needless to say.
when we get to actually have them, oh my gosh, to all you listeners out there, Bruce is hilarious. He always has these like one-liners that are awesome, and I know I don't have to tell you guys that are regular listeners. We couldn't go on live because of something on my end. Everything on Bruce's end was fine. And
well, maybe. We don't even know that.
We don't even know that. But So Bruce, as you guys know, the topic is we're going to be discussing a question in the manual, which I love. Are changes required in the life situation of God's teachers? And when I couldn't connect, Bruce texts me, are changes required in the technology of God's teachers? And it was just so funny. And then I got the giggles and then I couldn't talk. My voice got scratchy. So here we are. This is what goes on, you know, behind the scenes. So funny.
Well, of course, the irony is that we're all constantly trying to, you know, fix the dream, you know, change the form. Right. And, you know, the technology is just one of countless parameters that we keep mucking around with, thinking, well, if I just tweak this a little here and adjust that a little there, maybe I can make this, you know, thing I made up work, this hologram.
Right. Well said. And it's so funny because Bruce, just offline, you guys, he was saying, you know, hey, oh, well, how are you, you know? And the funny thing is I've never been more relaxed because Mark and I just got back from a long weekend in Big Bear, California, which is a beautiful place in the hills, about 2 to 2.5 hours from Los Angeles. And Big Bear Lake is just huge. And they're just beautiful properties, not only on the lake, but in the surrounding mountains. It's a wonderful town with anything you could want, you know, not a small town. But and we had just such a beautiful weekend. And we went with my sister Cindy and my brother-in-law Gary joined us. And, you know, Cindy and I were sitting out on the deck and we just thought, boy, we're just enjoying this tremendous beauty. And we said to each other, yep, we're just, the projection is here right now. It's all in the mind. We're just still viewing this, you know, and enjoying it so much because that's what we do. We enjoy the good moments, but the backdrop in our mind was, yep, we're still watching the projection. We were projecting ourselves, you know, we're watching the projection, not really ourselves, but watching the projection in LA. Now we're watching the projection seemingly in Big Bear. So it was just really relaxing and really fun. And then Bruce, you sent me a beautiful picture of your serene setting that you were looking at. Oh, when you emailed me, it was gorgeous.
Oh, when I got your text, or email, I just thought, well, I'm walking along, looking at the post sunset ocean there, and so I just texted a quick
Oh.
phone pic,
Oh.
of the sunset, or actually post sunset.
It was gorgeous. Oh my goodness. So we were lucky to enjoy that this weekend, and it was nice. And I emailed Bruce, you guys. I thought, I just have been drawn to the manual a little bit lately. Sometimes I just go in phases with, what I'm focusing on. And I like this number nine, question number nine. Are changes required in the life situation of God's teachers? And this is such an important question that I get again from a lot of students and clients about, do I stay in this relationship? Do I leave it? Do I stay in this job? Do I leave it? Do I do this or I do that? And that's natural, so we don't have to feel guilty about that. But Bruce and
Of
I
course.
will address that in this show, right, Bruce?
And I think this is, it's like you say, it's one of the questions that not only we ask usually right out of the chute when we start studying A Course in Miracles, but also ongoing, because I mean,
Sure.
that's a standard ego strategy, is trying to make it about the form. And our inner kindness teacher keeps saying, nope, not still isn't about the form. I don't think it ever will be. It's always about the mind. But the level of confusion tendency is really, that's the outer shield of oblivion, is it's, as long as it's about somebody else or something else or some circumstance or some situation or some circumstance or set of circumstances or situations, then ego says, phew, I'm off the hook. It's not about the mind. If as long as I can get the decision maker, distracted and detoured on that approach to things, I don't have to worry about my fraudulent identity being exposed. And because that's what the ego is. It's a fake idea, a fake identity and a fake individuality. And that sense of little s self is really, what gets us, its shenanigans gets us in all the mischief that we've ever found ourselves in. But fortunately, only in dreams.
Yeah,
That's the good
right.
news.
That's the good news. Exactly. Well said. I mean, it's interesting, and Ken talks about this a lot. I have his commentary here, which
I was just going to suggest that, because I since it's such a short, section, it's the shortest, I think he says, not that I counted the words or anything, but
right.
he mentions off the right of the bat, it's the shortest one in the manual. So, but his commentary I've got almost completely underlined here. There's like about 2.5 pages of it. I was thinking maybe we just read his commentary and talk about it. If all,
Absolutely.
well,
Let's
does that sound good?
read it and then read his commentary. So
Okay.
perfect.
Do you want to dive in, or shall I?
You dive in, Bruce.
Okay. So the title is, Are Changes Required in the Life Situation of God's Teachers? Ken comments, though the shortest one in the manual, this section is significant as it addresses a question that is an important issue for students of A Course in Miracles, who may feel that since the course is so holy, and
Right.
therefore they are so holy because they study it, they should not be involved in mundane matters such as
Right.
marriages, families, jobs, earning money, carrying insurance, and so on. These students have been tempted, and many have unfortunately acted on the temptation, to leave their families, jobs, and insurance coverage, waiting for the Holy Spirit to provide for their needs. Jesus anticipated this mistake and seeks to correct it here.
Yeah,
So
beautiful
right off the bat,
intro,
it's like
right
it's
off
like,
the
yeah, it's just like, wait, hold on, hold your horses. This
Right.
is not about,
Right.
changing anything on the level of form.
Exactly. And he goes into it, and some things do change, but we'll just read on because I think this is really a treat because it is short. You're right to read just from Ken. I think it's good. And then we can insert what we want. So go ahead, Bruce, and read the first one
Okay.
line.
So yeah, the first couple of sentences of the section itself, changes are required in the minds of God's teachers. This may or may not involve changes in the external situation. And then Ken says, changes are not required in anything external or physical, only in the mind. It must be so because the mind is the only thing there is, the source of the problem and its solution. I'll just read another couple more here and then we can talk about it. Mm-hmm. The third sentence is, remember that no one is where he is by accident and chance plays no part in God's plan. And Ken's comments, this returns us to our earlier discussion of time. Jesus does not mean that God ordains specific events or that the Holy Spirit moves us around the board of life like chess pieces. We, not them, wrote the script that occurred in the original instant. And so nothing could happen accidentally now because it already happened then.
Right.
Consequently, any circumstance at any time is the perfect instant for us to learn forgiveness, which is God's plan, in quotes. Projecting our guilt onto others provides the perfect opportunity to choose the Holy Spirit's script that shifts the mind's perceptions. So again, you know, once again, inexorably, patiently, inevitably, this course always keeps leading us gently but persistently back to the mind, and particularly the decision-making faculty of the mind, rather than the ego's version of it, which is choosing among illusory alternatives and thinking, well, I should fix this and choose that instead of that, X instead of Y kind of thing in the level of form. The Holy Spirit always says, no, choose my thought system of inclusion and shared interest and forgiveness. And if you listen to that voice, the other stuff, it's not like it's going to do itself magically, but you'll have less and less concern for what happens as a result in the world of form, because you'll recognize that your peace of mind is independent of what happens in the level on the level of form.
Bingo. Bingo. That's so well said. It's really challenging for everyone at first. So everyone listening out there, Jesus knows, like we all know that we have to make decisions here. This is coming later in the, which we'll read later in this question and answer. But, you know, we all know we need to, quote, we feel like we need to make decisions here and do everything. So I always recommend to people, and I've experienced it in my own life, just try not to do it on your own, meaning as the ego guides you. The Holy Spirit, being in the Holy Spirit mind, and the lesson we'll discuss this going forward, we're just choosing to change our mind first. And truly, when we're right-minded in the Holy Spirit, that literally will direct your functioning, not the least of which is really just your experience of the script will be one of peace instead of conflict, one of mm-hmm. love instead of fear. Your experience, regardless of what's going on in form, you know. So let me just read a little further, because it does
it gets better.
Yeah, it gets better. Okay. So Jesus goes on to say, it is most unlikely that changes in attitudes would not be the first step in the newly made teacher of God's training. There is, however, no set pattern, since training is always highly individualized. So again, it is most unlikely that changes in attitude would not be the first step in the newly made teacher of God's training. So then Ken says, this same thought is repeated almost word for word near the end of the manual. Quote, the curriculum is highly individualized. Since the training is highly individualized, quote, we can in no way know what anyone else should or should not do. There is no right or wrong approach in this sense, no right or wrong way of staying in or leaving a relationship or job, or even having one. The, quote, right way is acting without guilt, and the wrong way, quote, wrong way with guilt. These are the only meaningful criteria. Jesus reinforces here what he has already taught, the need to shift our focus from the external, the world and body, to the thought system we have chosen in our minds. I'm more relaxed because one thing is you allow yourself to be where your mindset is at the time without guilt. It's so important. Because that's our classroom. Jesus needs material from us to work with. So if I were to just get upset and say, I can't believe we're leaving, and make a scene, I would make a scene, allow myself to have that, and then just, I'm willing to see this differently because I'm bummed about going back. Then I would give my mind the shift, let myself have the feeling, and then give in to the Holy Spirit, looking at it differently and going, oh my gosh. And the thought that comes to my mind right now is, oh, I'm so blessed though to come back to my place in LA, and my mom is with us now. And like, there's just a lot of things that would come into your awareness to, as a reflection of a blessing of being in the right mind,
Yeah, and I think when you're in that frame of mind where you're not concerned with outcomes, you recognize that you bring that peace with you wherever you go, and that's what you share. And it's not only in your mind, but it's also, impacting everyone that your communication touches, whether it's in person or
Right.
online or whatever, right?
Exactly. Why don't you go ahead and read the next part?
Sure. So let's see, did we read? Yeah, we read up through, I think, one
You're,
five, right?
yep, we're at through 1:5.
Okay. So the next sentence, number six, is there are those who are called upon to change their life situation almost immediately, but these are generally special cases. Ken says, it's always intriguing to see, as we regularly saw in the early years of the course, how many, quote, special cases, unquote, there are.
Right.
Students have been, and unfortunately, continue to be tempted to think they are special cases, with the emphasis on the word special.
Right.
I assure you, Jesus does not care where or if you work, where you live, or with whom. He cares only about your welcoming him back into your mind. How could he care about your behavior when he knows there is none? Well, that gets, kind of to be one of those places where it's a bit of a stretch, but if there is no world other than what the interpretation we give it, then someone could be in what some would call, a horrific situation and be at peace, and
Right.
others could be in what seemed to be an idyllic situation or a, just a poetically beautiful place and be miserable. So it really is a
Exactly.
choice in the mind. And I'm remembering a story that one of the people in our Wednesday study group has shared a few times, and I'm going to paraphrase probably, but it's about someone who travels into town, and they knock on this house, and the person says, "Well, where you come from?" And oh, it's over from this previous place, and they say, "Well, what were the people like there?" And they say, "Oh, they were mean-spirited and nasty and just very unkind." And then the person at the door says, "Well, that's probably what you're going to find here too." And then the next person comes and knocks on the door, and they ask the same question: "What were the people like where you came from?" He says, "Oh, they were kind and thoughtful and considerate and just so helpful." And then the person answering the door says, "Well, I think that's probably what you're going to find here too."
Beautiful.
I'm paraphrasing that greatly, but that's kind of the
No,
gist of
I
it.
love it. That's
But that's,
great.
but you know, you, and then there's a song lyric. I'm trying to think of the name of the band. That's, you bring the weather with you, and so if there's
Right.
like a storm cloud around your head, metaphorically, you're going to take that with you wherever you go. And if so it's really, we bring it with us, don't we?
We do, and that's a great example, because when you're in the ego thought system, you bring that with you. When you're in the Holy Spirit thought system, you bring that with you wherever you are. So it is profound. And you know what? That's so interesting, because gosh, I just had a flash that came into my mind so fast. I just had this flash of, it's really possible, and I know you've experienced this, Bruce. I have, and you, the listeners out there, many of you probably have. Even when viewing something that seems so horrific, or something that you just can't believe, it's just impossible. It's possible to not be affected at all in the right mind. The right mind interprets it as a dream. So you're not the body that thinks it's real when you're in the right mind, meaning you're not identifying with the ego, which identifies you with the body. And that means everyone else is a body and things are really happening. That's not how it is in the right mind. The eyes report back to us these horrific images, but the mind that made them, you know that the mind made these horrific images. And that's why Jesus says in the Course, and I'm paraphrasing, you'll be able to smile at devastation and death and those things. It's hard to believe it, but it's true.
and that isn't necessarily what we'd start out with, you know, but that's what we're leading up to, is to be able to be actually, if I like to think in terms of how can I be, you know, kinder than I would have imagined possible.
Yes.
In any circumstance. Not necessarily to try to make light of what's going on. You know, I mean, this has been a year where there have been incredible challenges for people around the planet, not just from,
absolutely,
from, you know, pandemics and financial tumult and racial unrest, and all, you know, all, a whole number of things. That those are just, you know, three off the top. But, you know, there's just an enormous amount of opportunity at every moment throughout time to choose a different teacher, and that's what we're being asked to do.
Right.
And that has no bearing on any particular. And I think that's why one of the most challenging, perhaps the most challenging idea in Course in Miracles appears at the very first sentence in the book. You know, there's no order of difficulty in miracles.
That's right.
Which is to say, there's no circumstance, there's no situation that requires a change, an external change. But every situation ultimately will require a change in the teacher, a change in the thought system.
Absolutely, absolutely.
In order to achieve consistent peace, and that's what why it's, you know, the foundation for inner peace is the publisher.
What a beautiful name, isn't it? I know, the foundation for inner peace. And Bruce is right, you guys. You know, Bruce and I go right to the metaphysics all the time. We never want to stray from that. But this is a process, so we don't jump right away to not being affected, and that leads us, and there's no guilt about that, by the way, that leads us into the next thing I'll read, Bruce, the next part here. By far, the majority are given a slowly evolving training program in which as many previous mistakes as possible are corrected. Relationships in particular must be properly perceived and all dark cornerstones of unforgiveness removed. Otherwise, the old thought system still has a basis for return. And then Ken's commentary is, note the words slowly evolving. So he's commenting because Jesus said, by far the majority, that's the majority of people, are given a slowly evolving training program. So note the word slowly evolving as in being gentle, patient, kind, and merciful. This means there is no hurry to accomplish anything. Since we have already been healed, indeed, we have never not been healed. What is the rush? If, however, we feel a sense of urgency, it's only because we have made time real, thus making its source of sin, guilt, and fear real as well. The need for this slow evolution is our fear of love, which leads to our resistance against moving too quickly. If we do not undo the guilt, it remains to return again and again in the form of attack, like a recurring nightmare. Guilt is undone by first recognizing how we have projected it onto everyone and everything. This is why the focus of A Course in Miracles curriculum is on shifting relationships from special to holy, from the purpose of reinforcing guilt to undoing it, shifting from perceptions of separate to shared interests as we grow to realize we are all reflections of the oneness of heaven. Beautiful.
So true, huh?
So true. And you guys, you know, once again, we remember that this is a process, and the Course is big on repetition. Repetition, right? Jesus says the same thing
you
many
can say
different
that again.
Ways. You can And I do. Anyone who knows me knows I love reminders and repetition. My mind goes there automatically. I just get a hit to just keep saying something, again and again. So we teach what we need to learn, right? So
Yeah. And
I.
I'm flashing back on the since we were talking about technical issues at the beginning of the conversation, the way a GPS works is it takes a signal that it latches onto and by consistently, repetitively, over and over and over again, looking for that same signal, and it's actually much weaker than the noise, the background noise in the radio spectrum. But it basically, by using circuitry to incredibly finely tune the attention to that one pattern over and over and over again, and locking onto it and letting it build up until it can pick that signal out of the noise, it basically is like I think a great metaphor how a
Yes.
GPS works for how we over time, slowly but surely, listen to that inner kindness teacher, that Holy Spirit's voice, metaphorically, guide us away from being attached to outcomes and the attachments and aversions, and just looking at that and saying, well, it's not about the form. It's always about a choice in my mind to be at peace no matter what. And from that perspective, I can actually make better choices in the world. But it's not, it's the choice we make on the level of form isn't what's important. It's the choice for teacher on the level of mind.
Absolutely. Well said. And because you know what, you guys, to reiterate again, no, to repeat, it's like what you said, Bruce, it's so interesting. I know it's hard to understand this. I want to share this from my experience that whenever I want to make a decision between staying or leaving something or doing something, and it's not clear, I feel that there's a conflict, like I'm just, oh, back and forth. I know my mind interprets all of a sudden. I switch and I said, oh gosh, that's so funny. You're making it real by having to, and it's taking your peace away. It's taking my peace away because I'm afraid I'm going to make a wrong decision. Just sharing my personal example, and everybody has how they feel, but I feel like I'm going to make a wrong decision. My sister and I often talk about this time around, being in a helping profession in the world's eyes, we're all God's teachers and helpers, but taking on a therapeutic role on the level of form. And so it's like one of my forgiveness lessons is always sometimes something will creep in, like today, example, when the show didn't go off, and there's people that tune in. I see, I know they're tuning in live. The show didn't go off, and there's a little ping in my mind, and it's taking much longer than what happens than to tell the story than what actually happens. But there's just a little ping that creeps up and says, "Oh, I'm letting these people down," or "Oh, gosh, I don't have the tech right." But right away, again, it takes longer to tell. I get out of it right away, and my mind translates that into number one. Do you think you're that important? How arrogant to think that the world rises and falls if you're not there to share a podcast. That's number one. I think people can live without it, and I'm not that special. And then number two, I start smiling because I do really remember there is no po everybody, they'll just listen to it later. Like your right mind takes over in just a soft, gentle way. And I'm just like, oh my God, it's fine. And I feel so good. I'm looking at this huge angel statue that I bought in Big Bear. And Cindy got the same thing because we both fell in love with it. And Bruce then comes back with that quip, are changes required in the tech of God's teachers? When I was trying to get on the air. And this is what I mean by being like lighthearted. And because my mind goes. I practiced this for many years, and my mind immediately goes from the guilt or the arrogance of thinking that I'm letting, it's really arrogance that I'm letting people down. I mean, when you walk it back, as if I'm this real body that has to be on the air or someone's life is going to fall apart. That doesn't mean that people don't enjoy the podcast. I'm saying, let's be honest. So I just switched my mind. And again, it just takes longer than what act to tell it than what actually happens. And then Bruce came through with that funny thing. And Bruce will tell you guys, I just had the giggles, and I just couldn't recover from the giggles because we had to switch our platform, and it was just so funny. I'm like, oh my gosh.
No need for recovery from that, right?
That's right. We don't need to recover from giggles because the giggles are important, right?
Yeah, we took the tiny mad idea seriously. I think
giggles
are encouraged.
That's right.
Obviously, there's some places where a little decorum might be appropriate.
Of course.
Social settings, but right. I think it's good to
silliness is good. Yeah,
we need the humor. Yeah.
And I kind of still am on this like high, this tranquil feeling of just really being in nature, doing those walks just on our weekend. It, I don't know. There is just something that clears your head and just being out of a situation that we can all get into a routine at home. So naturally just being taken out of that situation was just really healthy because each moment was new, which is a reflection of each moment really is new. I mean, we can be in the now with it, with every moment in the now and not drag in the past, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the past really is, we have to keep dredging it up in order for it to resurface in the present anyway. But
exactly. Well said.
Yeah. Shall I read the next
yes, part? Let's read okay. the next one. This is such okay. a good one.
It really is, yeah. Okay, paragraph 2. As the teacher of God advances in his training, he learns one lesson with increasing thoroughness. He does not make his own decisions. He asks his teacher for his answer, and it is this he follows as his guide for action. And Ken comments here, most readers are familiar with the, quote, rules for decision, unquote, section in the text, which is chapter 30, section 1, and recall that Jesus stresses there, as he does here, the importance of asking the Holy Spirit for help. Our second theme, and he talks about the second theme, the two themes in the manual for teachers that Ken goes over and over again and comes at from so many different angles is basically shared interests, that we're here to learn that our interests are shared with everyone, our true interest of going home, really, from the dream of separation and through forgiveness. And then the companion idea to that, of course, is asking Holy Spirit or whatever we want to call that right-minded awareness that we took with us into the dream to get us out of the dream for help in every situation and relying on that with increasing frequency. In fact, one of the other sections in the manual, I forget exactly where it is, I think it's actually at the very end. It says,
yes,
it's the way out of hell for us.
Right.
It's not just a nice thing and a good idea, but it literally is our way out of the hell that we made for ourselves. And we'd be clueless and basically stuck there for eternity. not that that's possible, but because it never really happened, but it would take a whole lot longer if we didn't just learn to rely on that more and more consistently.
Right.
So anyway, let me start that over again. Okay. Ken's comment. Most readers are familiar with the rules of decision section in the text and recall that Jesus stresses there, as he does here, the importance of asking the Holy Spirit for help, our second theme, and that we have only two choices available to us, the ego and the Holy Spirit. True help, of course, comes from the Holy Spirit, and Jesus tells us what this means in the next sentence, which is, this becomes easier and easier as the teacher of God learns to give up his own judgment. And then Ken comments, the process of increasingly turning to the Holy Spirit becomes easier to the extent we can gladly say and mean, quote, thank God I'm wrong and you are right.
Yep.
Holy Spirit, unquote. The problem is that we are certain we understand what is wrong with the world, a friend, or our bodies expressing absolute confidence in our judgments. Yeah, we know who the bad guys are in the world, right? We watch them on TV all the time or on our computers or phones or whatever. And we think we can delineate between positive and negative.
Right.
Yep. We're always wrong because we look in the wrong place, thinking problems are external and therefore in need of our doing something about them. Need do nothing. Mm-hmm. Yet we do everything but go to the mind where things have to be done differently, choosing again. So, lot of good content in
A
there.
lot of gems in there. Yeah, it does become easier and easier, as Jesus says, as the teacher of God, that's you listening, learns to give up his own judgment, right? So our judgment is that we think there's a world out there. That's what the ego wants us to think. So we never go back to the mind and change our mind about it, you know? It gets easier and easier with practice, as we always say, this is a process, you know? And trusting in the Holy Spirit, it takes time to do that, because the ego, no one's saying the ego isn't ingenious and that the ego isn't clever. And it often masquerades as the Holy Spirit, right? And the Holy Spirit told me to do this. The Holy Spirit told me to do that, you know? And sometimes we do get the inspiration as a reflection up the ladder of something that would be good for everyone. But the danger is the ego, because the Holy Spirit isn't in the world, he's in your mind. So the danger is the ego does masquerade as the Holy Spirit when there's the guilt in there, and we're still the special one who wants to get our needs met. And so we say, he tells me to do this, he tells me to do that, right? So it's always just one of those things where, as you get used to really listening to the voice, that he's really telling you there's two choices, right? We can either choose guilt or forgiveness. We can choose shared interests or separate interests, right? We can choose to believe in the reality of the dream or not. And then the reflection of that choice will guide our functioning, and not the least of which will be an experience, an inner experience of peace, no matter what is happening to you and around you.
Right. Yeah. And that comes from generalizing over time, doesn't
Sure
it? With
does.
practice and repetition.
Absolutely. Yeah, let me read the rest of this here. Or not the rest, the next part. Jesus says, the giving up of judgment, the obvious prerequisite for hearing God's voice, is usually a fairly slow process, not because it is difficult, but because it is apt to be perceived as personally insulting. Oh, this is Ken's commentary is great on this. I'll read it. It is personally insulting to be told that we are wrong and do not understand anything. Moreover, not only do we not understand anything, we are incapable of under we, not only do we not understand anything, we are incapable of understanding anything, as the next section explains. In this part of the manual, judgment is treated as the major component of the ego thought system. The original judgment, this is important, the original judgment was against God for not giving the Son, capital S, the specialness he demanded. Therefore, he made the judgment he would be happier on his own, and the ego was off and running. This is the source of our tendency to think we know better. This is key, guys. We always think we understand how people should be, how they should behave, react, and think. I certainly thought that of myself today. Oh my gosh, I should be a better podcast host. I should be better with technology. I should be this, right? Okay. However, the only meaningful judgment we can make is that we are wrong, but that there is someone, capital S, within us who, capital W, is right. As long as we stubbornly and arrogantly insist otherwise, we will never hear his voice. For judgment drowns him out. Do you hear that, guys? Judgment drowns him out. Judgment drowns out forgiveness. Clearly saying that you and I are separate, expressing the special relationship in which you are either wonderful or hateful, my ally or my enemy. Therefore, Jesus teaches that giving up judgment enables us to perceive everyone as sharing the same interests, which is our certain way home. We're all in fear, guys, that we believe we're here. We've, you know, projected ourselves into the dream through the sin, guilt, and fear that was in the mind that was too horrifying. It's so acute that we had to project it, right? And so in the Holy Spirit mind, we recall the projection, so to speak, and we're able to operate in the dream, being in the world, but not of it. Jesus's favorite thing. So we're in the world, but not of it, meaning we understand where the world is coming from. Mind of the dreamer.
Exactly. Yeah, just looking at all of our condemnations and criticisms as egos, and watching that stream of blithering nonsense, basically blathering insanity, and just not condemning ourselves for it, I think is often the first step, is just say, wow, would I want to make that condemnation about myself? If I'm, if I recognize that it's not out there, it's in my mind, and whatever judgments I'm making are self judgments and self condemnations. It's like, why would I want to keep doing that? It's like, duh, duh. But we're all clueless here. I mean, we
We
can't
are.
be clueless. So we need to be really gentle and patient with ourselves, because you'll catch yourself over and over again. That's why it takes so much repetition. Is just say, wow, I was doing it 79,000 times today.
Exactly.
And just say, well, gee, maybe tomorrow I'll only do it 78,000 times.
Right.
That's progress.
And it's progress. I just got a download. Something just occurred to me. I know right now there's a lot of people that are, having a financial issue. Okay, and this is just symbolic. There's many issues, but I just wanted to address this a thought about how to practice that. Like, what happens when you think when you have a fear that comes up? In this case, it comes up as a fear of finances. I know a couple people who have had, their businesses are struggling. They have great businesses. Okay, so many different types of struggles. Okay, so, but it just occurred to me, like, I try to off share in my online classes and these podcasts too, kind of practical examples. And Bruce and I will give examples. And let's say you're in financial fear. I'm just using that as a, because again, I kind of like to comment on recent client things or whatever, because I know that's everyone has those questions, or a lot of people do. So, a financial fear comes up, and the first thing you always want to do is acknowledge it. We never want to deny that that's what you're feeling in the moment. That's the classroom. Denying it and resisting it is up the ego's alley, because in your denial of it and saying, oh, I can't be fearful, I need to be spiritual, or I need to change my mind, that's making it just as real on the other side. So sometimes the thought might be, oh my gosh, I'm totally afraid right now because this has been going on for so long and I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. And just stop. Just stop for a moment. Don't try to solve it. Just look at it. And a thought that always helps me whenever indecision comes up, for, you know what? Okay. This is distressing. I know though, I remember that I'm having this dream of fear. And this is, I'm making this really real right now. I'm willing to see this differently. I think that people tend to really deny something or say they shouldn't be feeling fear, or the mind's really tricky and it'll say, oh no, I don't want to go there. I know we're all one, I know everything is good. But sometimes we're not ready. Just have the courage though, just to say, you know what? This is my classroom right now. I am having financial fear. And then stop. Just stop for a moment. Be willing to look at it differently. I can almost, I hate to say I promise people, but I can almost promise people, because this is the power of the mind. When you stop and look, and you're actually looking instead of judging. Right? This is what Jesus is saying. You don't even have to make a decision. You don't have to decide what you're doing about your financial fear. You don't have to, but just stopping and holding it in your awareness and looking. I think miraculous things will happen. A Course in Miracles. The miracle is changing the mind. I'm not talking about happening in form, which sometimes a change of mind has a miraculous happening in form. But what I mean is that miracle of just shifting the perception. Part of that shift, you guys, is that you know you're okay. Just like part of the ego's script is the fear, part of the Holy Spirit's, it doesn't mean you have the answer, it doesn't mean you know what you're going to do in the next moment, but you have the comfort and the peace, even if it's for a moment. Those moments get sewn together. They really do.
They do, and it's the principle of I need do nothing that it is, I think, reflects what you were just talking about, Jackie. That
Yes.
there's the peace that comes from trusting that are real needs, which is really just peace of mind and to return to the innocence we thought we threw away. That's really the only need. And all the expressions in the world that take the form of, you know, service and products and, you know, all the different things that, you know, we think of as commerce, you know, in our world of finance and exchange and so forth. Those are really just reflections, if you will, or if you really think about it, of that willingness to express kindness and you know, a charitable impulse is really, you know, manifesting on the level of form. But I think a lot of times that this also works for depression too. I remember years ago, I found that when I was in a funky mood, the best way to get out of it quickly was to think in terms of what can I do that might be helpful to someone else.
Beautiful.
That was incredibly helpful. I found that worked consistently. I just had to just notice if I was in a you know, any kind of, you know, down, depressed, whatever kind of mood. Mm-hmm. I just realized that if I can just look at what my needs are as I perceive them and extend that to what someone else might benefit from and then go there, I found that my you know, needs were addressed while addressing someone else's.
Beautiful example. You know, I had a client that said that too. And it's interesting, he's not a course student. I only say that because, see, minds are joined and you don't have to be a course student to think that way. He said, boy, every time I just get upset and life isn't going my way, I think of what I can do for someone else. I take myself out of that.
Yeah,
my upsetness, yeah. He said, and boy, that really works because it takes me out of being a victim of my circumstances. That's what he said. Isn't that interesting?
It really is. It really is.
And that's a great example, Bruce. And you guys, it is. There's just so many things that we. This goes to your really good point earlier, Bruce, about our mind is so much more open to reflections that come into it that can make us feel better. One being the thought that you had, Bruce, about extending what you want or when you're feeling bad, how can I help someone else? What can I do for someone? Those ideas and many others are so much more free flowing when we're not in the rigidity of the ego's thought system where we're always worried about an outcome. We want a certain outcome. We have to have a certain outcome. We can't seem to get out of our rut, you know. It's really powerful to pause. There really is power in a pause, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because when we put the ego's, you know, blather on hold, what's left to fill the void is Holy Spirit's gentle counsel, mm-hmm. that says you have all the help you need right now to be at peace. And when you tune into that, when you accept that by, you know, hitting the pause button on ego's, you know, ticker tape, then you know, you're literally sharing that with all of creation. And that's really the greatest gift and the greatest service you could provide anyone anywhere. And it's only because we're so limited in our thinking about our identity and the scope of our minds that we don't really realize that any thought that is completely inclusive and completely you know, along the lines of forgiving and letting off the hook and seeing the innocence and perfection of everyone, that impacts everyone everywhere.
Yeah.
And but we don't know what that means. You know, maybe intellectually we might have a, you know, an idea, but you know, on the level of form, you know, we still think, if, you know, 7 billion people on a planet, you know, is hard to wrap our heads around, you know,
but right.
I mean, let alone galaxies and superclusters of galaxies and
right.
how do we know, you know, and going backwards and forwards throughout time, you know, because we think of those two you know, parameters of space and time as being limitations, but in truth what we really are is beyond that.
Right.
But that's you know, that's kind of beyond the scope of the course. But in some ways, but in another way, it's not, in the sense that whenever we tune in to that inner kindness teacher, we really are backwards and forwards throughout all eternity and beyond space and time, healing the mind.
Yep, absolutely. Well said. Hey, let's finish the rest. I think we can do it here in a little time. You can read the next two, read them together. They go together in a flow.
The world's training is directed toward achieving a goal in direct opposition to that of our curriculum. The world trains for reliance on one's judgment as the criterion for maturity and strength. And Ken says, we live in a society that values being an individual and self-assertive, making something of oneself.
Right.
We may not all agree on the same criteria, but we would agree that we need to achieve our goals. Since we cannot do this without evaluating ourselves relative to some preconceived value, the process always involves judgment.
Yes.
And then the last part, why don't you read that? And 'cause that really, you know, finishes it off, doesn't it?
It does. It's powerful. So our curriculum, meaning Jesus's and our curriculum trains for the relinquishment of judgment as the necessary condition of salvation. So again, what Bruce read, the world's training is directed toward achieving a goal in direct opposition to that of our curriculum. The world trains for reliance on one's judgment as the criterion for maturity and strength. Our curriculum trains for the relinquishment of judgment as a necessary condition of salvation. It's powerful. It's powerful. And then Ken says, judgment in the world's terms involves judging a situation and then resolving it. Thus, we judge a relationship and act accordingly with the goal uppermost in our minds of having our needs met. This type of judgment rests on the ego's bread and butter principle of one or the other, which invariably means that someone loses as another gains. Someone is wrong and the other is right. And we do everything possible to prove that we are the ones who are right. We know this makes the world go round because our original thought as the one son, capital S, was that if I am right, God has to be wrong. Both of us cannot be right. God says, quote, you are my son, totally at one with me. Our judgment counters. That is unacceptable. I no longer want to be one with you. Therefore, separating from you is the right thing to do. Thus, our original mistake was telling God, you are wrong and I am right. I will prove it. And how did we prove it, guys? The whole world we see, right? And then Ken says, this conflict is the source of the thought system and world that followed and is the core of everyone's authority problem. Remember the terrible twos. No, I won't do it. I know what's best for myself. Mommy and Daddy, you don't. We have never really abandoned that position, for we believe we know better than the authority or anyone else for that matter. And behind every authority and relationship stands God. Isn't that interesting?
The terrible duality syndrome. Right?
That's right. You want to read the final paragraph, Bruce?
Oh, sure. Finally, our stubborn insistence, we are right, has never made us happy, but it has made us miserable by giving us the body and the world in which suffering is universal. That is why Jesus asks us in the text, do you prefer that you be right or happy?
Yep.
And that cliche, if you think of it, course cliche, if you will,
right,
is in chapter 29, section 7, paragraph 1, sentence 9. Our unhappiness has come because we judged we were right and God was wrong. Whew, a wonderful line in the text, one our egos hate,
right,
follows a description of the ego thought system, and God thinks otherwise.
Yep. Another famous line in the course.
apparently that was one that really irked Helen.
Yes, it did. It did.
According to Ken. Well, and it irks all of us because, you know, we really want to be our own person
and have things be our way and that we know best.
It's that personhood
thing
that we're all attached to, right?
Right.
That's from chapter 23, section 1, paragraph two, sentence seven. That is why we hate him, capital H, and try to block his love, both in caps. He thinks otherwise about this, quote, wondrous, unquote, world we miscreated, and the, quote, wondrous, unquote, self we think we are. Right. Of course, he does not really think at all, because he does not see the world or its bodies, though the universe stands as testament to the fact that our judgments are correct. So we think. So we dream, right?
Right.
That is why the course's curriculum places so much emphasis on our need to give them up.
That's right.
Like we tell a dog, drop it.
Yep. So,
drop it.
Drop it. Drop that bone. Drop it. I know. It's so funny. This is so profound. You guys are giving you, I mean, Ken's commentary on the metaphysics of the course as it interweaves, you know, how we think and feel is great, because if we're not ready to go all the way back to that, oh, we separated from God, because let's face it, that's like unconscious to us, right? I mean, we don't get upset and right away say, oh yeah, well, I originally attacked God, and so he, you know, we don't go back to it. But this is so exciting, because we are being led to what we really want. Complete peace and love with everyone, complete bliss, not as bodies, but as we really are in heaven. We're so attached to the body here, but we don't realize how much suffering that is. It is here, right?
Yeah, and as Ken points out, it's a slow, gradual curriculum. So
yes.
I think if we're just willing to accept the idea, well, gee, maybe rather than having the situations in my life be the way I think they should be going, if I'm willing to just kind of give up a little bit more of that each day, not necessarily, you know, not continue to try to make them, you know, turn the way we think they should go, but just not being upset by when, you know, what the outcome is, regardless, and just be willing to consider, well, maybe what's more important is for me to be peaceful, more and more peaceful every day. That alone is enough progress, and to be willing to forgive yourself when you catch yourself trying to sabotage that, and just say, wow, there I was ago. Again, you know, going into that place in the mind where I thought I could, you know, do it on my own, but realized that by myself, I'm not going to figure this out. I need the help of that inner kindness teacher to
absolutely
guide me back. Yeah.
Well said. And, you know, just to kind of wrap this up, I think that the only reason, if you think of it, you guys, and what do you think about this, that listeners, and, you know, you can think about this, the only reason we want things the way we want them is our discomfort, because we're separate from our source. We feel like we have to be in competition with people. We feel like we have to, like, either look the right way or say the right thing, or I have to be perceived the right way, or you can name it, whatever it is. It's only because it's a belief in a body that we're separate. We're not connected to source. When you're connected to source, the mind, you know you're okay. You know there's no competition, not really. You know there's no bodies, not really. You know there's such a peace in knowing that there's nothing really happening outside of you. And when you start reflecting that thought system into the dream, things do change in your inner experience. Externally, sometimes things change. You won't care if they do, because often they won't. You just know that you are joining with your source and reflecting that into the dream. And people feel that, because all minds are joined. So you're not joining with the ego and others. You're joining with the Holy Spirit. That feels so good, because it's your connectedness, guys. It's your connectedness to source that feels good. When you're in that state, whenever someone, quote, you know, attacks you in word or thought or email or however they attack you, or you seem to have a thought to attack other, there's no effect on that, because your mind automatically translates that into, oh my gosh, I'm dreaming this now. Or you're looking at that person and going, yep, it's a call for love, because it's my call, because it's a splintered part of the one mind. It immediately takes your focus out of what's going on in the world to you're the dreamer of the dream, And you feel so good. You feel good because you're connected to source, to that reflection, to that. So it's really powerful. You're not caring about things in the world. It's not that. You're not feeling better because of denial. You're not feeling better because of insensitivity to others. You're feeling better because you remember where the images and the problems are coming from.
Exactly.
And then you know you're with God and your source. That's why you feel good. It has nothing to do with denial or being insensitive. So think about that. When you guys, something happens or you get a trigger, just remember it's coming from you. You don't deny the trigger, but you just recognize, oh my gosh, this is another opportunity. This is an opportunity to slowly awaken from the dream instead of further illusion, right? Yay!
Exactly. And they're all opportunities.
They're
They can.
all opportunities. Oh my gosh. Well, this has been once again so great. And you guys hung in there with all of our commentary and Ken's just brilliant words. But it's really powerful stuff. And we take what we can in any given moment. And Bruce, it's always great to have you with us. Thanks for hanging in there with
Likewise, likewise.
all
I
my
always enjoy the
tech.
conversations.
Oh, they're so great. And everybody I know there's always new people. You can find Bruce at acimblog.com. Anything else you want to say real quick, Bruce? We have got about 30 seconds here.
No, I think that's plenty.
Okay, and Bruce has great interviews and postings with all these people that he has discussions with. So it's really fun. acimblog.com. And oh, thank you so much, Bruce, and to all
Likewise,
our
likewise.
listeners out there. Just remember, you are love and you are loved. You are never alone. And for those of you who, are not on my email list, I'm going to figure out what the status of this particular platform is. If you want to go to jackie.news and subscribe to my email list, you'll get to know all my announcements and everything. I'll be putting out a newsletter soon. So be well, everyone, and blessings.